All right, amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. We're in the second lesson on Numbers 11. Last week we spent a good bit of time looking at complaining and what the Bible says about it and how destructive it is in our lives, in our families, our churches, our work environment. It's a terrible thing. And it started with a mixed multitude, and then it expanded out to the people of Israel. And now today, we're going to start in verse 10 of Numbers chapter 11. We're going to see that it has now moved over into Moses. And Moses, of course, is the leader. What happens with complaining is it's contagious. It is something it's like a fire that just spreads wildly. Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? See, now he's joining in. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom? As a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? You see, he sees the problem as impossible. You know, like you think about Jesus' day, Jesus said, well, you feed them. I looked that up this morning. You feed them. Well, we only got, you know, five fishes and two loaves. In other words, they're looking within for the solution to the problem. Verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Boy, I'll tell you what. Whew, that's some tough stuff. You know, it's like you can, if you just put yourself in Moses' place, he finally comes to the realization at the end. He's like, look, I'm complaining to God. Why don't you just take me out? He doesn't want to quit. That's the cool thing about Moses. He does not want to quit. He wants to die. You know, it's like, look, what is the solution? I've got to lead these people. They're in my bosom. They're in my heart. They're not on my back. I'm not carrying them. I'm carrying them at my heart. That's the problem. And that's the problem with leadership. If it's true leadership, it's in your heart. It's not, you know, on your back. It's not by your side. It's in your heart, and it's destructive. But it starts with a mixed multitude. And we can make the application, it starts with lost people, but I'm not so sure you can say it's just lost people that start the complaining. Not today. Then it goes into every man in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Every man there in verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Every man in the door of his tent. Man, that's terrible. And then it goes on from there to the leadership in Numbers 11, 11. It goes on to the leadership. Moses starts complaining. Discontentment spreads faster than wildfire, till the leaders are turned from praying for their intervention. Now, this is important. Look at verse 2. Numbers 11, verse 2. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Moses intervened for the people in verse 2. He's not intervening when he's complaining.
That's right. That's right.
When he starts complaining, the Bible says there's going to be big, great judgment upon this people. Many are going to die. It's a great plague, the Bible says. Why? Because the leadership stopped praying. What caused the leadership to stop praying? Well, it's sin. Moses sinned. You say, well, it's the people. Well, Moses chose to do what he did and react the way he reacted. You say, well, he didn't have any choice. Yes, he did. Because I was looking this morning and he says, all this burden's on me. Remember that? Remember we just read, oh, it's all on me, God. Why? Why? Do you remember Moses' father-in-law in Exodus? He said, this is too much for you. And I read it this morning. Let me see if I can find it. There it is. Exodus 19. Let's go over there and look and see if it's just all on Moses. Exodus 19. Moses' father-in-law. Oops, it's not Exodus 19. That's eagle's wings. Exodus 18. Look at... Moses' father-in-law comes to him in verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people. Look at this. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people all season. Moses already had help. But I'm going to tell you what happens. When people start complaining, then the focus becomes on the problem rather than on the solution. And you have to stay focused on the solution. You want a problem for your family? The focus has to be on the solution, and the solution is God. God's already provided. But yet when we get focused on the problem, focused on the people, focused on the complaining, focused on us, we will fall just like the nation of Israel did. That discontentment caused great harm. We're going to see how it works out later on. Moses likened this whole thing to a father carrying a nursing child. You know how helpless a father is carrying a nursing child? I don't know what to do. It just keeps crying. You know, they didn't have baby bottles back then. You apply it back then. Here, you take them. That's all you can do back then. The baby's hungry. The baby's crying. The baby's us. And we won't stop until we get to mama. That's not the way we're supposed to be. But yet we complain and we complain and we complain. And then we wonder, why are we in this muck and this mire? We're in this muck and this mire because we choose not to look up and to get ourselves out of it. The more you complain, the larger your problem is going to seem. Moses felt like he wasn't able to bear the burden of the people alone because God's help was no longer sufficient, even though he had much help. I mean, people that were over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. I mean, one person over ten. You mean to tell me it's all on you, Moses? But that's what happens whenever people get their eyes on themselves. Remember Moses said, I just want to die. You know, he's not the first one or the last one. Elijah. You know what? You know when he, in 1 Kings chapter 19, he wanted to die because he separated himself from everybody else. He separated himself from everybody else and got alone. He had just had a great spiritual victory, but when he got alone, he thought, man, that's all. It's just me. It's just me. Jonah wanted to die in Jonah 4:3. He had just seen God work miraculously in converting a whole group of people, and yet he wanted to die. Psalm chapter 55, the Bible says David wanted to die. Paul said he was pressed out of measure, above strength. He despaired even of life in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a common problem. You can't discount it and say, well, they ought to just get over it. They know the Bible. I mean, we're talking about spiritual leadership here. They know the Bible. They ought to just be stronger than that. Let me tell you something. I had panic attacks for a month. And I know my Bible. And I quoted that scripture, and I was just distraught that I couldn't overcome it. I had to disconnect a little bit. And until I disconnected, I wasn't going to get over it. That meant getting rid of my phone. So I disconnected, and for that period of time, I was able to get over it. Everyone, Moses, Elijah, David, Paul, got up from their despair. God ignored their request to die, and He dried their tears, and they moved forward again. That's what we've got to have our hope placed in. Look, you may want to die sometimes, and things will happen. You'll think, this is the end of the world. I can't make it through another week. I'm so embarrassed. That's just pride. I don't know how many times I've had something happen in my life. I thought it was the end of the world. I can't make it through this. And now, I'm standing here right now, and I look back and go, wow, I did live. That's how you've got to live. You've got to remember how God delivered you in the past and realize He can deliver you in the present and know that He'll deliver you in the future and stop dwelling on where you are and trust in God. But you know what we want to do? Give up the phone. And just complain. Or worse yet, we talk to our spouse. Or I don't even know if that's worse yet. It might be worse to pick up that phone. Start complaining to everybody. Yeah. They don't care. Just kidding. He would rather die than to face the troubles he had with the people of God. Before he finished his prayer, he realized how wretched and miserable he was because he was just like those he was complaining about. You remember Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul, why would Paul say he's wretched? Because he's as human as we are. And he wrote more books of the Bible than anybody else. But yet he was human. Elijah was a man with like passions as we have. They're just men. Whenever you look at somebody in the ministry, sometimes you get this wild-eyed view and you think, well, oh my goodness, look at them. Yeah, ask their wife. Ask their children. You'll find out they're human. And when you find out they are human, then you look at it and you go, oh my goodness, you know, how can that be? Because that's just the way it is. We have a tendency to put people on a pedestal. And the scary thing about ever being put on a pedestal is when you have to come off the pedestal. Because everyone has to come off the pedestal. Either by themselves when they step down, or by God when He knocks the pedestal out, or by the people whenever they realize, oh my goodness, He's not a God, I'm going to complain. I don't like this, I don't like this. You know what I say to people all the time? I say people have quirks. We all have quirks. We're all imperfect people. We all have failings in our life. And you say, well, look at what they do. Yeah, but look at what you do. Look how they are. Yeah, but look how you are. And if we'll ever consider that we ourselves have quirks and failings and problems, we won't judge everybody else with the same standard that we think they ought to be living up to, which is our standard. Think about it. Well, have you heard about, and you just name a name, have you considered about yourself? Be careful. Take heed lest ye fall. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We all have quirks. So don't think that your quirks are permissible and everybody else's needs to be judged, talked about, and complained about. Because that's just what we're looking at here in Numbers chapter 11. Moses joined in the complaining here. And go ahead and turn to verse 33. So instead of Moses praying like he did in verse 2, Look at verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed. Don't you just love the Bible? The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Let me tell you something. If you can convince everybody to quit praying and start complaining, that'll be the outcome. You say, well, I would never try to convince anybody. All you've got to do is complain. You see, your words and actions speak louder than your thoughts. We're all guilty. Like I said last week, we all complain. You know what I want? You know what I don't even remember complaining this week. Other than when we were at the doctor's, my wife just went. I was going to paraphrase that. Other than we were at the doctor's office at an 11 o'clock appointment, and at 2:30, I was on the phone with somebody. I said, "Yeah, I hadn't even seen the doctor yet," and we had an appointment at 11. I went, "But I'm not complaining." And I don't know if I was or I wasn't, because we really expected, we brought snacks. I told Judy, I said, you better bring some snacks, because it, you know, it takes a while. And the doctor, he's meticulous. He talks, he spends as much time as you want with him, but the problem is, he does it for everybody else too. All right, let's look at verse 16. Enough about the wretched Moses. Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Now, wait a minute. Now, look at that. This is what clued me in that he already had help. He says, who you know to be elders, who are officers already. He's already picking people that are in a position of authority. Well, I thought Moses was doing it alone. And bring them under the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee to Moses there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. I don't think God thought he was alone. I also don't think God thought it was too much for Moses. Moses thought it was too much for Moses. Why? Because the people complained. If you complain enough, you'll put a bigger burden on people, whether that be the pastor, in this case Moses, the pastor, your boss at work, your spouse, your children, your parents. And you go, wow, you're complaining all the time. They're like, they just want to pull their hair out. Cut it short. That's what I say. You'll be able to pull it out. The only solution is to try to focus upon the blessings of God. Focus on that, and you won't focus so much on your problems. So Moses chose from the elders of the people. Notice that God didn't send 70 times the power. Doesn't say he sent 70 times more power. He said, I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I'll place it on them. He didn't send more Spirit, more power. He's showing Moses, look, you could have done this, but now I'm going to spread this ability maybe out, and we'll do it your way. I don't think that's what God wanted.
Right.
I think God wanted Moses to handle the problem, and that he was not allowing anything to be upon Moses more than Moses could handle, but the problem that Moses couldn't handle was the people. The people complaining. I don't like to be around people that complain. They're downers. They're destructive. I don't like to be around me when I complain. Not really. You don't really look at it like that. It's not really complaining when I do it. That's what we think. This week, when you open your mouth and the words come out, ask yourself what you're doing. Am I complaining? Am I looking for a solution? Is God in this thing? And then just think about it. You may be like me. Well, the doctor isn't in. I'm not complaining. Because I realized after preaching last week, I mean, that was Monday, I think, wasn't it? That we went to the doctor. So it was still fresh on my mind. Plus, I was going to have to get up and preach again the next week. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. So, having said that maybe it wasn't exactly what God wanted, God allowed it. Sometimes God will give you the answer to your prayer when it isn't the best thing. People say, well, it's God's will. Well, I guess it was God's will. This happened. I guess it was God's will. That isn't true. God's not willing that any should perish. Therefore, the will of God is not always done. Calvinism says, we all become a little bit like a Calvinist. You know, well, I wrecked my car. I guess that was God's will. As you were texting and looking at your phone, doing something you shouldn't do, you were distracted. I guess that was the will of God. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. So don't always say when something happens, well, I guess that was the will of God. You could be completely out of the will of God. Galatians 6, look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So what does he say? He says bear one another's burdens. So those 70 that were chosen, hey, you know what they ought to do? Well, Moses, you really didn't need us. You know, they start complaining. No, they ought to jump right in there and take the new position and do what they're asked to do and not complain about the fact that now they're having more put on them. In fact, we'll see that they're going to benefit quite greatly from it. You know, actually, who is bearing the burden here? We're told in Exodus 19:4. Well, since we're so close, go ahead and look over there. Exodus 19. Look at verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Who's bearing them? God is. On eagle's wings. It's not Moses. Moses is simply the instrument. You know what I am as a Sunday school teacher? I'm just an instrument. And I hope God speaks through me. But listen, I can get in the way. I can do my own. I can say my own thing. I can get in the flesh in the pulpit, as can the pastor or any other preacher that gets up here. And listen, I've seen more people in the flesh than speaking through the Spirit from the pulpit. Far too many times. Look at verse 18, Numbers chapter 11. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. Boy, they aren't going to find out what that means. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Verse 19, ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days. You know, it's getting scary here, man, when God talks like that. I mean, it's like, it's not going to be what you're thinking. And by the way, you're not going to like it when it's all done. Nor 20 days. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you and have wept before Him saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now, I wrote in my Bible, is this just a figure of speech or did they literally vomit through their nose? It can be done. I saw a video, you know, a little kid with a noodle, and she sneezes. Sorry. That's gross, right? It's going to come until it come out of your nostrils. That's gross.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a figure of speech. I think they're literally going to have quail. Ere it's chewed, that means before it's chewed, coming out of their noses. That's gross. No gross than that little kid I saw with a noodle coming out. God's Word shows the real issue here. It says they despise the Lord there in verse 20. They despised the Lord in saying that. Can you imagine this people saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Remember the cries of the Israelites came up before the Lord? I mean, they were beaten. They were slaves for 400 years. You know what? I was president of a mission for 12, 15 years. You know, one of the things we found out was that many of those people that were in the mission professionally did not want a job, did not want responsibility. They simply wanted to do what they had to do that day, have a place to sleep, have clothes on their back, get fed, and go on to the next day. All they wanted to do was get through a day. Many of the people on the street corners, all they want to do is get through a day. It is what it is. That's humanity. That's what I see here when I read this. All they want to do is get through a day. And by the way, you know what they're going to do whenever they get the quail? They're going to go gather it for 36 straight hours. They're willing to work for 36 hours. A whole day through the night, a whole day the next day until it turns night again. The quail's 3 feet high, up to their waist. A day's journey all the way around in quail. I mean, think about it. You don't even have to bend over to get it. It's 3 feet high. And you just pick it up and you bring it in the camp. And you're probably filling up these baskets. I mean, it's lust. Uncontrolled lust. They're just filling up these baskets and bringing them in and throwing them in the camp. Because it just covers the ground in the camp. And they might have gotten 100 gallons. 10 bushels, I think it is. Or we'll get to that here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But they did it for 36 hours. Why did they do that for 36 hours? Because they were tired of getting up every morning and having to go out there and pick up the manna early in the morning before the sun rose. God can provide for you like the manna and the quail, and you're still not going to be satisfied. We're not going to be satisfied because we're human. And humans like to complain. And humans like to look over there and say, well, the grass is greener over there. Let me go over there and eat a while. Well, then you get over there and you go, man, it's not so great over here. I'm going to go over there. And then you keep doing this vicious circle. And by the time you get done, you don't even know where you want to be. Because nothing will satisfy you. Good positive message you come to church for. Listen, it's humanity. You know what we have to do? We have to be inhuman, unhuman, dehumanize ourselves, be spiritual. And stop being so normal and so carnal and so fleshly, and we won't drive everybody crazy around us. Say, who's doing that? I don't know, but if it's you, stop. Nobody's doing it to me. I mean, I don't get people coming and complaining to me. Why is that? I guess because they know I really don't want to know it. I don't want to know what your problems are. I mean, if I can help. But if all of it is to get it off your chest and put it on my back or in my bosom, which it ain't going to probably make it in there. Not if all you're doing is complaining. Now, if somebody truly wants to know what God wants them to do, truly seeking out the will of God, truly wants to live right, I'll help you as long as the day is long. But not somebody just wants to get it off their chest. Let me tell you about Brother Ray and Lula and Jonathan and Miss Judy over here. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I could choose her because I don't think so. Just stop. Shut up. Go to God. Wasn't everybody supposed to bear everyone else's burdens? Yeah, not like that. Not like that. Wow, here goes Moses. Look at verse 20. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Listen to the complaint to God. Well, all we got is, you know, a couple of fishes and a couple of loaves. He says, Jesus says, don't you understand Now I want to say that. Don't you understand that God can take care of you in whatever situation you are in? Fishes, loaves, quail, manna. It's all for us to learn. You say, but God isn't going to do it when I want Him to do it. He's not going to do it quick enough. He's not going to do it, you know, the way I expected. It's uncertainty. Uncertainty kills us. I just want to walk by sight. I don't like this faith thing. None of us do. Until you walk in faith for a while, and then when you start walking in faith for a little while, it changes all of your perception. Then you want to walk in faith because you start seeing God. You start seeing God provide. You start seeing God's grace and His mercy and His long-suffering and all that He is. He becomes real, and when He becomes real, everything changes. But you know how to destroy it? Complain. Complain. Here's Moses. Boy, he's gonna go bonkers here in a second. Look at verse 22. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Exaggeration. And it's all about me, me, me. How am I going to do this, God? You just made a promise to them, and I know you're going to expect me to do it like you have. I mean, I had to part that Red Sea. I had to... You see what he's doing? I threw that staff down. I was shaft, spear. I didn't know what it was. I threw it down and turned it. No. God did it all from the beginning. You know what got Moses out of focus? Anybody know? Anybody know why Moses got out of focus? Come on, somebody. Not the pastor. Anybody. The people... Good. Somebody's listening. Think about it. This is what we're learning here. You say, well, I don't know if I like this so much. Yeah, you're complaining about it. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. That's the key of the whole thing. Is the Lord's arm waxed short? Now, I looked up the arm of the Lord yesterday or today, whenever it was. And Joshua, when Jordan was dried up in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, he said that they may know, that the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty. See, it's all about God. When you read your Bible, it's always all about God. This isn't a story about Moses. And this really isn't even a story about people complaining. It's really a story about how God reacts to complaining. Verse 24, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. So the 70 men are around the tabernacle. It's important to remember that because there's going to be two that are outside that are still in the camp that are going to prophesy, and there's going to be a little bit of an issue with this. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. Moses speaking unto Moses each time. It's not to them. And took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, the Bible says, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. See, prophesying is basically, in a sense, preaching. It's not always, you know, foretelling the future. So the elders prophesied, God empowered them. He took from the Spirit that was upon Moses. But there's some men that remained in the camp. Eldad and Medad. I just love the Bible. You know, you got some of these ladies' names in there. It's like you want to find a name for your baby? Go to Leviticus chapter and you tell them, like Meshem Tubach. Verse 26, but there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other, Medad. The Spirit rested upon them. Notice it says the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. You know, you get to thinking, well, are you in this camp or in that camp? You know, our society today, preachers today, it's like, what camp are you in? I don't want to be in a camp. I want to be in God's camp. You know, I get into a lot of different groups just because people can't figure out what camp I belong to. They always ask you, what school did you go to? And I understand that. They want to know a little bit about you. They want to know whether you're a Hilesite or a Ruckmanite or a, I don't even know what else. Andersonite. Now we got them. I don't want any Stauferites. I don't. I've had people, I'm a Stauferite. I said, no, you ain't, because I ain't one either. You know, they'll say that. Just joking, hopefully. Yeah, I think it always is. If you say it to me, I'll kick you in the shins. Verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad, Medad, do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Forbid them. Verse 29. Moses said unto him, to Joshua, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. I wonder if they went in the camp to go see what was going on. Moses calmed Joshua down by telling him that he wished all the Lord's people had the Spirit like these two. And you know, in a church, you can't all lead. There's no doubt God puts a pastor over the church under the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. You know, you can't argue with that. Yes, it gets abused. And yes, it's abused quite frequently because what happens is the man is human and it starts going to his head. Seen it many times. It's extremely destructive. So the people say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll take it upon ourselves. We'll just be our own boss. That's as wicked as the hell itself too. So what do? You give the pastor some latitude and you go, oh, he's got a quirk. And then you look at your 57 quirks and you go, mine aren't as bad as his one. That's what we do. And we go, no, look, check. It's destructive. It's destructive. So stop. You say, is it going on here? I don't hear a thing. I'm immune to it. Because if you get up and you preach, people are going, it must have been because of what I said to him last week. Nobody said anything to me. That's what's so beautiful about not having to hear it. And maybe it's not going on. Praise God, glory, hallelujah, if this church, Antioch Baptist Church, is an exception to the rule. Because the rule is, where people gather together, people complain. Let's be an exception to the rule. We don't need to be like every other church. We want to be different. Let's be different. Let's be unique. Let's not be like every other church where everybody's bickering and complaining and fault-finding and whining and criticizing and going on and going on, because all you're going to do is destroy the rest of the body. See, the pastor agrees. Do you? Yeah, I know you're quiet, but come on, there is a question out there. You got to agree. Unless you're guilty. Do you agree? It's called entrapment. Lawyers do it all the time. I always wanted to be a lawyer, but I never wanted to defend anybody that was guilty or put anybody away that was innocent. Verse 31. There went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, not in the camp. And as it was a day's journey on this side, and as it was a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Man, it's like shock and awe. They get up and there's 3 feet as far as they could see. Man, they got their quail. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. It doesn't say anything about thankfulness. It doesn't say anything about faith. It just says they gathered for 36 hours. That's a lack of faith and a lack of thankfulness and a lack of wanting to depend upon God. They said, man, we got enough gathered for a month. Yeah, you do. You do. It's going to come out your noses. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth. Verse 33 doesn't say they cooked it. It says that between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth-Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted, and the people journeyed from Kibroth-Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. You see, let me tell you something. God's work does not stop, but you can stop God's work. That's the lesson we need to learn. We all need to live in such a way that we are an influence upon others in a positive fashion. If you're a complainer, you don't have to be. And you're not helping yourself. And you're not helping those that are around you, whether it be a church member, whether it be a co-worker, whether it be a family member. You're not helping yourself, and you're not helping those that listen to you. And if somebody comes up to you and they've got a complaint, let's say about a person. You know what my policy always is? Let's call them up. Let's get them on the phone. Well, I don't want you to do that. I thought you were looking for a solution. You're not looking for a solution if you're not willing to get them on the phone. You say, well, you just don't understand how things work. Yeah, we do. Oh, yes, I do. I complain to you. You can't do anything about it. And then if you really think hard enough and you go tell somebody else what I said, the story will get worse and it'll change. And then by the time it went full circle around and came back to the person you're complaining about, man, they're going to have fangs. They're going to have venom. They're going to be the most hateful, thoughtless person you've ever met on the face of the earth. And that's the way life is. You know what I want? I don't want to be normal. I really don't. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want Antioch Baptist Church to be like everybody else. I want to be what God wants me to be, and whatever that is, I want to keep searching for it, and I want to keep changing and bettering myself and bettering those that I influence and try to help others. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. And we just ask that you take what was said this morning, apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us to sincerely look at ourselves and consider ourselves and ask ourselves, is this us? And if it is, help each one of us to check our mouth and our words that come out, that we be edifying to one another. Pray for the service this morning, Lord, the singing, the fellowship, the preaching would be all to thy honor and thy glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You are dismissed.